Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
Hi everyone, it's Chatting with Nat. It's Natalie Jones and Nathalie Jean. And today we have the honor of having singer-songwriter Astra Kelly. Artist, songwriter, and Chicago native Astra Kelly is a pure talent with a lyric-based melodic sound and soaring vocals. Eclectic in style and genre, her music draws from her soulful Chicago roots, fused with an indie folk and Americana, my favorite genres. Her songs often mirror the beautiful grit of being alive and open the way for a thought-provoking and emotive musical experience. She's a career artist who has toured the country extensively and has released 10 records on her own label. In 2022, she embarked upon the Making Music Tour, an epic RV journey around the U.S. to rediscover her creative mojo after the pandemic, write a new record, and to allow space for grieving the loss of her mom. The resulting album, summer 2023 release, Soul Fires, is 9 songs that reflect spiritual, emotional healing and transformation, and embrace the power within universal love, the open road, nature, and the mysticism of life. Let's give her a round of applause. Hi, Astra. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. There's been a crazy past 3 years, let me tell you. And it just gets crazier every single day. How have you been able to handle all the stuff that's been thrown at us for the past 3 years?
As well as to be expected, I suppose I'd say. in the intro, there was the event of losing mom during the pandemic as well, and I cared for her, which is the most gracious thing I think anybody could ever do, is care for a loved one as they walk the rest of the journey of their life. So that created, also in the midst of the pandemic, a certain sense of inwardness and isolation, as we all felt in so many different ways. But at this point, and in the journey that I took last year, it's like fighting my way out of the inside of the cocoon, so to speak. And trying to peel away some of those layers that were necessary during the time, I suppose. But I wasn't creative at all during that time. So that was rough not to feel that creative flow, because I've been here since I was a little girl.
Yeah, no, I completely understand you. My father passed away about 8 weeks ago. So.
Oh, my goodness.
So I understand the pain of losing somebody. And where you were his caregiver, we, my sister and I, my stepmom and my mom, for the past 3 years were going to visit my father. He had stage 4 cancer. So it's rough. It's rough. I haven't been able to be creative. Somebody asked me, doesn't it make you more want to create? And I said, no.
No.
I am still trying to understand the whole thing. So I completely understand you. No motivation to be creative. I completely understand. Now, during, obviously we know, and you know, that there are a lot of horrific things that happened during the pandemic, but there were some pros during the pandemic. you know, some people realized they weren't spending enough time with their family members, so they cut back on work. More people were outside spending time with their families.
Absolutely.
Yeah, climate change. The animals and the trees were out and loving this life without people in the streets, and the pollution level actually went down. There were several articles about people that decided to quit their jobs because what the pandemic did, it allowed for a lot of self-introspection. I mean, people started to think, man, you know, I really don't like my job, but I have a purpose and I want to follow
it. Right.
I know I need food to eat. I need a house. I need a roof over my head, and I need clothes on my back, and I need to be able to get to and from whatever I'm doing. So a lot of people quit their jobs or started working from home that would enable to do them to do something that was more in line with their passion. You know, people wanted to live again, so to speak, because you realize all these thoughts start to come and you're just like, okay, I know life is short. Now the pandemic has shown me that life is really short. I'm going to do my thing. And for writers and musicians and artists and all that stuff, you know, some people decided, oh, music's not for them. Some people decided to create an album. Some people decided to do an EP track. You know, some people decided to rebrand based on the fact
that
they
didn't
really think about who they are.
Before the pandemic, I had been playing you know, five shows a weekend, and with that one thing, when all of that went away, I realized that I didn't want to play quite as much as I did before because I couldn't see my feet. I couldn't see my friends. I couldn't see my fellow musicians. I have worn out after hands-on 30 hours a week. So I knew I wanted to rebuild in a different way. That was a lot of experience. How are we going to come out of this really important to us?
Exactly. Now you're cutting in and out, and it's and it's echoing now. It's actually a cool sound. A person just put that.
Oh, you know what? Let me see.
All right. This happens.
I know. I just got it right before I joined the call. What happened? Yeah, there's no echo on there. Huh.
Yeah, my it's like it's doubling.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Now it just said, you said really, and it said really. You know, it could make for a cool movie.
I hate to interrupt the show, but should I try something else?
Can you call from your phone?
Yeah, I have that all set up. I have to make sure it's true.
Okay. If you call from, you're probably just dropping. I'll just keep chatting. But you can go ahead and drop the phone and call back in.
Okay. Okay, I will do that. I'm sorry. No, no worries.
This is life.
Back in a flash.
All right. This happens, y'all. This is life. This is what we have to deal with as independent artists. You know, sometimes things don't work. Technology is funky. It can be so funky. And then sometimes technology can work. Look at all these AI stuff that's coming out. It's kind of crazy, kind of crazy. But we're always having to multitask, and sometimes things like this arise, and we have to fix it. It's no big deal. But this is part of the artist's life. For anybody in this industry doing podcasts or interviews, these things can happen. Now, I allow these things to stay in the thing because this happens, and nothing in life is ever perfect. But we're going to get to know more about Astra Kelly and her greatness and her Chicago roots, indie folk and Americana vibe. It's going to be awesome. And her touring and her new album. It's going to be released this summer, Soul Fires. Can't wait to play her songs. It's going to be fantastic, fantastic. And while I'm on the topic, if any of you want to get on Chatting with Nat or Mixing It with Nikki Chris, you can. Just go to the website. I believe there's a spot where you can click on something, and you can get on one of our podcasts. We'd love to have you, love to chat with you and see what you're up to. It's not just for women. We do interview men, you know, the men and the brothers that support us, sisters in music, and we're going to have some other stuff going on. We're trying to do a workshop on interviewing social media, all kinds of different things, because we've recognized that sometimes people need help with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing. So, this is what happens. Technology. I'm just going to sing technology. I'm sitting here with my cat. La-di-da. So we're waiting for Astra to get back on. She's going to try to call from her phone. Just want to make sure she doesn't email me. Oh, why this is a... Oh, you know what? I need to... now I'm talking to myself. Yeah, so, you know, we might try to do another showcase in L.A. next year during the Grammys. We pushed back our compilation album, but eventually plan to do that. I'm working on a few things myself. So life is good. Well, this, you know, I am still in mourning, but, you know, trying to get through. As we wait for Astra Kelly to come on. Oof, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. But it happens. It happens. This music business is really interesting. I'm taking a course on, marketing and branding, but it's more than that. It was going on the history of music, which was really fascinating to me, how this whole music thing started and the roots of music and how it spread out into several different genres. It's like they talk about jazz and blues and ragtime and all that stuff started around then, and then it just, you know, from R&B and soul, rock came out of all of that. That's where all that stuff started from, which is very fascinating. When people they get mad when certain people get into start singing country music or Americana music, they're like, what are you all doing in there? But we're doing it. We are doing it. I'm still waiting. I don't want any there to be any dead air. So I'm actually waiting and sitting with my cat, Faith. She's a pretty little girl. She likes to be scratched, but she doesn't like to, if you try to kiss her, she's like, nope, I haven't that. I don't do that kind of stuff. She's a very pretty cat, and she knows it. That's the problem. So here I am. I'm just waiting. Trying to see if she's going to... contact me again. Waiting. Yeah. This is how we do it. This is how we do it.
When you don't know what else to say, that's what happens. And you're back.
Am I back?
You're back.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez, Louise, I tell ya.
I was talking to myself, but I was like, yeah, we're going to learn more, and life is great, and blah, 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 whatever. just shouldn't be with myself. Now, back to the question I was... So, basically, what I was trying to say is that there's a lot of introspection. So, during the downtime... Obviously, you were going through a lot, but did you have time for self-introspection? Did anything change for you? Are you like, Astra Kelly is fine the way she is? The music's great? Or did you decide, okay, I'm going to do something different?
I think, I mean, musically, one thing I feel like that I touched upon was that I realized, and, you know, this is going to be my 10th album release, so
okay.
I've been making music for a while, and one thing I realized is that I had been kind of hiding behind metaphors a bit for many years, and to me, it was more, it was about sort of being poetic, because I had started out, even before I started writing music, as a poet and a writer, and I love spinning words in certain ways, and I love kind of creating new concepts out of words. But what I found is that it was kind of masking a real honest part of myself, and that I can be transparent and really intimate and honest in all of my relationships, but I wasn't really being that same person in my music. So even though I wasn't really writing during that time, I sort of made the intention that when the creative juices start to flow again, I want to just let things be and let the songs be exactly what they need to be without trying to spin them and weave them a little too much.
I like that. I like that. You know, one of my things is to, I'm always like, I want to start a revolution, because I find that the music industry tends to restrict artists, or we allow ourselves to be restricted by this industry. Obviously, if you're writing for sync and licensing and they want it a particular way, that's fine. But I think that some, oh my God, if you're writing country music, there's just like, you have to rhyme with everything. And I'm like, why? Aren't you, isn't the point to tell a story? Hello.
Right.
But, you know, and certain genres are very much sticklers for certain things. But just like everything else, things evolve. So just like we can go into an art gallery and look at a painting and view it and say it's beautiful, or somebody might not like it because, you know, everything is subjective. I want to be able to have people see music as art as well. You know, we don't have to write the way everybody else writes. You know, when you do that, you take away your own voice. Like, I entered a contest recently, and they always give feedback, and they're like, oh, if you had done this, that, and the other, but I wouldn't have. And what's interesting is that this song, won the silver medal on something else. And it was like, yeah, because the thing was like, yeah. And then when you do the corrections, oh, it's going to be amazing. And I said, it is already amazing. And I know in their heads, they wonder why I enter their contest, but I just like to see what they have to say. And I like to say something back. So I don't like the idea of suppression. And not every genre is for everybody. And not every artist is for everybody, but there's somebody for that artist. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that? It's like the free expression of artistry is what is needed, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, I mean, when I made my first record in 96 and started to venture into the industry and had some decent contacts that were, you know, waiting for my stuff. And what I got in the very beginning is that yeah, you need to make all these changes and you're not like everybody else. And if you want to fit in, you need to do this. And I at first rebelled against that. And then I think after I made, you know, 5 or 6 records or so, I was like, you know what? Well, let me just see if I can be me, but also try to fit into what the industry wants. And so I made a record that I thought did that, and I still got the same responses. So I was like, okay, well, screw it then. I'm not even going to try. And I feel like that is just something that we're dealing with all the time. And yes, I would love to have, you know, my songs featured in movies and films. And, but yeah, what they want is so very specific and so very reminiscent of the kind of pop music that's out there. So yeah, I felt a lot of throughout my career that, you know, that I, that the industry has always wanted me to be different. And I'm just not willing to be somebody that I'm not to try to participate more in this industry. So I think it's a conundrum that a lot of people face. And, but I feel like I just made the best record of my career so far. And it's only the beginning. So we'll see more, you know, more. I just want people to hear it. I want people to experience the journey, and, you know, that in itself is a question, is how do you really, really connect with and reach people these days? That now that the world is so different on so many levels.
I mean, it's wild. It's wild. And I completely agree with you. I think I think artists need to be free, period. Because if you listen to the radio, we're inundated with the same stuff over and over and over again. Like, if you want to hear that over and over again, that's good for you, but I'm actually tired of it. I mean, there's no substance to a lot of songs. It's the same damn thing. Now, did you come out of the womb and you were just like, okay, music is going to be me, I am going to be music? Or was it something that you heard or saw that made you want to get into the music industry?
No, I knew very, very early on. I mean, it was kind of in my blood. My birth father, who I've never known, he was an incredible musician. And my stepdad was music as well. So I, you know, the forces, the universe gave me these musical role models in my life. But I remember being 5 years old and roller skating in the basement of my neighbor's house. And I told my little 5-year-old friend, I was like, know what? I'm going to be a singer someday. And I just never, I mean, I couldn't help it. I started, you know, in choirs when I was a little kid and just kept with it, and then joined bands as soon as I could. And it's just never, I mean, that's why I tried to quit so many times, but it's
Yes, I know that feeling.
It's not possible. I mean, and even after the pandemic, it was like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. You know, it's like the hustle. And then it was just like, well, no, I have to. I mean, what else am I going to do? I can't. There's a saying of like three feet from gold, where it's like, you know, a soul is digging for gold. And then they get up. Little did they know that there was gold 3 feet from where they were standing. So part of me was like, you know, I can't quit now. I've been at it this long. And I'm going to miss something if I don't keep going. So, yeah, it's sort of like never been a choice, really.
Yeah,
in
it's
my
a part
soul.
Of who you are.
Absolutely.
Part of now, how important is authenticity to you?
Very much so. But there's that little element of, like what I just said a little bit earlier, that if I looked back on the way that my writing was,
mm-hmm.
I found that I was, that there was a little bit of masking happening.
Mm.
And I think at this point in my career, again, I want to be more of that raw and natural person
right.
that I am in every other area of my life. I don't want to hide at all in music. And I've always been authentic. I've always been who I am. But
right.
I also know that there's another layer that I can shed that
mm.
will help me connect with listeners even
right.
through social media and the digital age, you know, because
mm-hmm.
if I play a show and there's actual people that I'm playing with and able to talk to, it's like, you know,
right.
we all end up having this intimate emotional experience, and that's easy.
Right.
But I find it a little challenging to really be that raw, natural, authentic self in the digital world a little bit.
Oh, really? I'm like a person that just says F you to everything. You know what the pandemic has really taught me is just like, who cares? It's like, do your thing. There's always a listener for your music. There's always
yeah.
somebody that's like, oh my God, this person gets me. And they might say, you
yeah.
know, they're going to say, Africa, oh my God, she gets me. She's different. It's not like the same crap. And I can listen to her every single day on the daily. I just love it. You know, after
yeah.
a certain, unless obviously if you're writing some film and all that stuff, but it's like, if you're trying to express something, maybe that's because somebody else needs to hear your expression.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So.
Yes.
What do you love about being an artist?
I love that it accompanies the emotional journey that life is.
Mm.
Art and songwriting and music feel to me like, you know, like the emotional and energetic flow of living and of nature. And I know not everybody, you know, like if you're writing for film and TV, you probably aren't feeling like this natural flow of like
right.
high vibe creating music kind of thing, because you're like, oh, I'm just giving people exactly what they want. And that in itself
right.
is an incredible skill that I don't have. But yeah, I'm a very feeling person and
right.
always have been, you know, when I was a kid, they'd be like, oh, she's so sensitive. And I tried not to be that person in my late teens and early 20s. And I realized that if I tried to suppress like my emotional body, I would literally get sick. So I was like, okay, well, forget that. Forget
right.
that. I can't do it.
No,
so
not
you
doing
learn to, not doing that. So learn to create, you know, rivers in my life where I could allow those, you know, big feels to flow, so that, you know, I wasn't holding anything inside and making myself unhealthy. Well, and I love performing. I love the energy of performing. And when you have those opportunities, when you have a captive audience, there's nothing else
right.
like it.
Oh, I know.
You know, just that exchange, the
right.
like spirits
I
that can come into the room.
It can be very beautiful. Very,
yeah.
very beautiful. Now, tell me about your upcoming album, Soul Fires. Tell me all
Soul
about
Fires.
It.
Tell me all about it. Well, after my mom passed, because I had moved in with her, so I already had let go of my house and moved
yeah.
in with her after she passed. We sold the house. And I bought the RV and I'm like, okay, I'm throwing myself into the fire. I got to hit the road because I feel most comfortable and inspired in nature and being close to and within nature. So I was like, I got to get out there on the road. I got to have wheels on the ground, and I got to push myself to like open back up and write some stuff. And so I called it the Making Music Tour. And when I left, I was like, holy crap, what if I don't write anything? What if what I write is really terrible? And about 6 weeks into the trip, and I bought a 32-foot RV, Class A bus, motorhome, and towing a car, and driving it was just terrifying. About 6 weeks into it, I was almost up to South Dakota, and I was on like a really lovely two-lane highway, sunny day, road was smooth, and I was like, huh, this is actually kind of nice. I think I'm finally feeling more comfortable. And as soon as I did, I swear it was like the top of my head popped off and all these songs were just dropped in by the heavens.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, holy crap. I mean, it was like a bunch of people talking in my head that were like ideas and songs. And I was like, I got to pull over. This is ridiculous. And so I pulled over and I started just dictating, you know, some melodies and some lyrics and stuff like that. And out of that half hour of lightning bolt creativity, there was four songs started.
Wow.
And I loved them all. And it, you know, there's a lot of my mom in there. There's a lot of grief in there, but it's about the process of grief. It's not, I mean, there's sadness, but there's also honor and really experiencing the grief because of the love that was, you know, blessing to be able to enjoy. And so, you know, the themes are, you know, travel, nature, and death in this album. And I feel like all of the songs were written with, you know, the spirits of the road and, you know, my mom's energy looking over things and guiding me. And so, I mean, I went 8,000 miles, and by the time I got to, you know, I did a big loop on the East Coast, and by the time I got to Atlanta, I had a couple more songs, and now I'm at like six songs. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put out an EP, and then the rest, I wasn't even expecting to write anymore. I was like, well, this is great. I got what I need. This is awesome. And then making my way through Texas, and on my last little bit back through San Diego, like three more songs came, and I just was. It's almost like it was such a whirlwind of allowing this music to come through that now that they've been recorded, I recorded in January with a band, with a full band that I had just been ready to have a first gig with 3 days before lockdown, and it got canceled. So I was like reuniting the band in the studio, and man, what they did with these tunes was, it's just really, really cool. I mean, my drummer played his kit with his hands a lot of the time, so it sounds more like percussion. But I don't know. There's just a very cool tone that he kind of came up with. And yeah, I'm really proud of it. And I listen to it, and it's comforting to me. I feel like you write songs, and then oftentimes they kind of come back and speak to you and teach you after they've been written. You're like, oh, is that what I was talking about?
I love that.
Yeah. I think I'm going to put the full album on vinyl and CD and allow people to donate in order to receive a private link or downloads. Just to kind of make the album special, and maybe there's a handful of people that will want to experience it in that way.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm just going to release every song as a single over the next like year and a half, because each of them has such a story and a little bit of a different sound, and I want to give myself, you know, 6 weeks or so to really kind of not only like revisit the experience of that song myself, but really be able to kind of unpack the journey for other people that exists within each one of the songs. So
awesome.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So I'm going to play Soul Fires. Tell me what that's about.
That's really just kind of a calling out to the love I haven't found yet. When I hit the road, I was like, maybe he's out there. And, you know, I'd roll into an RV park or state park somewhere. I was like, he could just pull right up next to me, and there he'd be. But this is the title track. And the Soul Fires is just kind of universal, I think, too. It's like, you know, the hook is like keeping the dream and the soul fires burning for you. Fire is such a wonderful metaphor, and I really think, like, at the core of, you know, each of us, there's that sun,
right,
and that, you know, this solar plexus power, and that can be a spark sometimes, but it can also be raging the more mm-hmm. we kind of sit within our power. And so, yeah, the soul fires is just kind of that fire that exists within all of us. So,
right.
Yeah.
All right, let me play it.
Cool.
I've been on my own most of this life. I like my company, so that's all right. And I loved hard. Those broken hearts have given me
That was beautiful. I like that song. I like it a lot.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's very powerful, very soft and very loving and very soulful for us, in my opinion.
Thank you.
It's a hit.
It's a hit.
It's a hit. Now, how do you go about writing a song? I know some of the stuff is about your own personal life, but when you're writing, let's say, a theme album or something like that, or how do you come up with the ideas and lyricism, and how do you deal with, I was going to say roadblock, I always say that, a writer's block, same thing.
I don't think I've ever actually had real writer's block except for, like, during the pandemic, like we said, you were just, you know, weren't inspired. But, yeah, there's two ways. Like you said, like, sometimes I'll give myself a prompt. And, you know, like, for example, I wrote a song about the Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow at one point. I was just like, I want to, you know, I love the like, mythology of the Wizard of Oz.
Right.
I just want to write a story about their journey because, really, it was all about, like, you have all of this inside of you. And I was like, okay, so I'll write about that. And I actually did, I've done a lot of, I'm a vocal coach and a songwriting coach as well.
Okay.
And so, like, I did a rehabilitative songwriting workshop in Donovan State Prison in, outside of San Diego. And I still do this, we would give more of a, like, a mental and emotional prompt, and it would be like acceptance or freedom or, you know, struggle or forgiveness or something like that. So I've done a lot of that for myself too. And it doesn't necessarily always result in a song, so to speak, but it's a great way to kind of get the ball rolling if I don't have something that's just kind of flowing out.
Right.
And sometimes I'll do like some free form writing, you know, where I just set a timer for 5 minutes and just write, do not, you know, don't lift the pen off the page. And I, you know, I still like to write on paper because it feels good to me.
Oh no, so do I. So do I.
Right. But I mean, with this last album, it was like, literally there was songs that were just coming. They were just coming in. Like sometimes I'll describe songs as like apples on a tree where they're just there. And, you know, one might fall down and bop you on the head or, you know, there you might feel an energy of like, oh, I need to pick up my guitar tonight. You just kind of reach up into the ethers and just, you know, grab an apple and grab a little tidbit of information and then just sit in that space where you're clear and you're almost like a creative channel.
Right.
And just really be open to whatever comes and not try to control it. You know, I feel like I've worked with a lot of songwriters who just are trying to manipulate every line and every word and just pushing too hard for it to be something, anything. And then they end up getting frustrated a lot. And the moment, you know, the moment that frustration comes in, you're like, oh, I better walk away and come back later.
Yeah.
You know,
that's exactly what I do. Walk away. Cause I start yelling at the computer, throwing things. I'm okay.
I can't
force it. This doesn't happen. It just annoys me. I just, okay, time to shut everything down, go to bed. And then the next day I'm like, oh, I've got ideas flowing. This is
I know. Yeah. So I think we all have the tools in our toolbox to, you know, help us keep things flowing. But I think the experiences that I like the best or that are the most exciting are the ones that just knock you in the head. Like,
right.
Here's a song for you.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and then of course you have to refine it a little bit and just give it form. But I mean, it's right there. It's like all up in your business. Like,
oh,
I'm a song and you're gonna write me.
Amen. all in your business.
Yeah.
Now,
All up in there.
I'm going to play Not My Home. What is that about?
Oh, man. I took a, and I think, you know, I think back on it now. It's like, because grief is a process and, you know,
yeah.
some say there are very specific stages of it. But of course, we all experience it in a different way.
Right.
And I've been really blaming this song on West Texas because that's where I was. And I drove this really funky way. I stayed at some really, some places I felt very unsafe. And it was muddy and cold and just a very weird journey through West Texas. And so it sounds like West Texas to me, and it's dark and kind of foreboding, and I'm really kind of describing that experience of driving through West Texas. But looking back on it, and as far as where I was at within the process of grief, that I realized that West Texas was the canvas that actually made me get to a point within the grief process where I could detach a little bit from the heaviness and the depression and the oppression that grief can be. And once I was able to kind of detach from it in a powerful way, I was actually able to become more of an observer in the process, where I was like, okay, I see these feelings. I feel these feelings, but they're not going to last forever. And they are not who I am. It's part of my experience. So,
that's
it.
All right, let me play it.
All right.
The dark is trying to drag me down to a world with no reason, to a place that will make me drown. I fight it till I feel. Do
one too. I could actually see that in like a Western kind of movie.
I know, right?
Country vibe.
Yeah,
now,
it was on a Sons of Anarchy playlist for about
really?
6 weeks,
yes.
Which was cool.
Yes.
And I was like, that's
yes.
the perfect.
That's where I could, yes, definitely. Before I let you go, I have three questions for you. Not three questions. It's one question, but I need three answers.
Okay.
What are three things you wish you had known before you got into the music industry?
Well, that the music industry itself is really quite a conundrum.
Yeah.
And there's some real assholes in there.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
And that I wish I would have known in advance that we weren't going to be able to sell records anymore, so I could have planned a little better for that.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
Yeah, and I wish I would have known. Really, because, like I said, I had no choice, so, yeah.
I mean, I wish I had known more about scammers, because as soon as somebody decides to get into the music industry, it's almost like they sniff them out and steal their money. I'm not going to lie.
Yes, this is true. I was putting those in the asshole category.
they're a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, but it's even more now with, like, the digital age. It's like everybody and their mother is like, oh, DM me and pay $30 to promote on my fake profile.
That is a huge problem. I mean, now with the digital age, the music business is a lot tougher. That's the other thing. Yeah, I wish I had known about this new digital thing in the future.
Yeah.
Because it seems like anybody can be an artist based on their behavior. They might not be able to sing, rap, or do whatever, but people latch on to that because they think that that's going to be a moneymaker. And I think that's kind of, that's sad in the music industry. I mean, the other thing is that this business is hard. It's tough. It's 24/7.
Yeah.
Especially social media, have to be on every damn platform. And, oh yeah, listen to my music. It's just like, oh, whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I always knew. I mean, I would like to say, oh, I wish I knew how much of a struggle it would be, but I always knew it would be because, of course, you know, coming out of high school, everybody always said, like, oh, if you're going to do this, it's going to be really hard. You should have a backup plan. And I'm like, I know it's going to be hard.
Like, I don't need a damn backup plan. I am.
Yeah.
I am. It's crazy tough. Crazy tough.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I guess maybe I wish I would have known too how competitive people would be. Not how competitive it is. Competitive some people are. I've come across that a lot, and it makes me feel like, oh, well, I can't play your game like that. Okay.
No, yeah, I don't like the game playing. I mean, my thing is that just be who you are and write the music you want to write and people will follow suit. I think a lot of people during the pandemic had a lot of downtime and they discovered a lot more independent artists. They're like, okay, surf the internet or surf Spotify, Pandora, whatever it is. And it helped a lot of independent artists. And with TikTok and stuff like that, getting on there playing their music, people are just like, oh, there's not just Beyonce and Taylor Swift and these fools out here.
Right.
there's more? What?
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God. but thank you, Astra, for being on Chatting with Nat. I really appreciate
you. Oh, thank you so much.
Really,
it's so fun. And I did listen to some of your music too, and you sound awesome. I really appreciate that you're a fellow artist and also giving this space to interview other femmes, songwriters, and yeah, it's great.
Other
thank you.
Other femme Patel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's much needed, you know. women,
absolutely.
We need to be heard and seen. You know, they're trying to erase women out there in so many different ways. And we're going to stand our ground and be who
yes.
we are. Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, help us. But yeah, no, definitely. Thank you for being on Chatting With Nat. I mean, I love your music.
My pleasure.
I think you have a great voice. Hopefully one day we can do an IG live. That'll be a lot of
fun. Yeah,
that'll
be cool.
You can rock it out. You can perform, sing a song. I don't know, do whatever you want. Shake your booty.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't choose that is because I'm still on the road and I never know what my internet thing is going to be
right.
like. But I'll be kind of more grounded this summer, so maybe we could do that at some point again down the line.
Yeah, no, that'll be great. That'll be great. Thanks again.
Cool.
Thanks again. All right, everybody.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. This is Chatting with Nat. Yes, me, Natalie. And I had the honor of having singer-songwriter Astra Kelly. You can find her on Facebook, Astra Kelly Music. You can find her on Instagram, Astra Kelly. You can find her on TikTok, Astra Kelly. You can actually go to her website, www.astrakelly.com, and guess what? You can actually buy her music. You can stream it too, but you know we're not making much money with that. And if you don't remember that, you can Google. The thing that I always tell people is that you've got to remember to be true to who you are as an artist, as a person, and just vibe with that. Life is short. Make sure you live, you love, you laugh. Until next time on Chatting with Nat.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
I have got a BOGO sale that you do not want to miss. Can I give you a free year of the best health and fitness app on the planet? I'm Lacey Green, a super trainer with Body. That's BODI.com. And I've got a story you have to hear. I had a client who came to me because she was really frustrated that every gym or trainer she tried made her feel bad because she was a beginner. She had tried it all. She just felt humiliated. And that's when we started working together and I took her through my 3-week program called For Beginners Only. Once she realized that she wasn't the problem and that she just needed the right program, she started to get results. And now she's completely unstoppable and feeling so confident. And I can do the same for you. On the Body app, subscribers lose 5 to 10 pounds consistently in their first month, and I bet you will too. And right now, with Body's BOGO sale, if you sign up for a 1-year Body membership, they'll give you a second full year for free. Just go to Body.com. That's Body with an I.com. Again, that's BODI.com. Let's do this.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.